You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 191 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave. How's it going?
What's up, Brutal Dave? We also have our guitar virtuoso here.
George Trippis.
Are you going to do that every time we say your name, dude?
Maybe.
Okay. We have that to look forward to. And we also have our good friend Justin back on the show.
What up, guys?
What's up? You don't have a guitar with you, do you?
I have drums.
Awesome.
Kind of.
All right. So before we get any further, tell us about this guitar you have, dude. What happened? Why'd you get a guitar?
I didn't buy a guitar. My wife bought me a guitar, and I saw the box when I got home, and I was like, oh, hey, that says electric guitar on it. And she's like, yeah, you weren't supposed to see that till Christmas. open it now and play with it as much as you want. And so that's what I'm doing.
Awesome. What a good wife.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's like, take it upstairs, and I don't ever want to hear it.
Well, yeah.
So this Did she say that? This is your introduction to guitar, though, right? So,
I mean, I played like bass, but poorly in the past, and I've also played the drums, but I've never learned how to play the guitar, electric guitar, and I've always wanted to, and so, you know, when in Rome, I guess.
Wait, are you in Rome right now?
I am in Rome. You can't tell because we're socially distant.
He means when somebody else buys him a guitar, yeah. He might as well try it.
I thought he might have been playing Assassin's Creed or something.
It's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, cool, man. I can't wait to hear you play Van Halen next week.
That's right. I'm only 3 days in, and I already figured out how Metallica plays their songs.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. How's everybody else doing?
Pretty good.
All right.
What's been going on? What's been going on with you, Dave? Did you do anything cool recently?
I had a fun day. I got to teach alongside a childhood mentor. I guess an old friend of the show. He was on our show a ways back.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Something like Commander Mark Kistler, who some of you may remember from PBS when you were growing up. I've had the pleasure of getting to know him over the last few years, and he does these fine art camps, and of course right now they're all done digitally over Zoom, and so he had me come on today as part of there's a whole slew of guest artists he has lined up for the coming month and beyond, and I did a class today on introductory to color theory, and it was fun. It was kind of weird because I spoke to one of the other artists who I think I mentioned him last time I was on, Ryan Shaw. I was talking to him about what to expect because he's been doing these for a while. And he was like, okay, well, you know that that Mark likes to talk, so just be prepared for him to come in and like interrupt you regularly while you're presenting because he's going to. And I was like, okay, I'll account for that in my time when I'm working on my lesson plan. And so I get on the call. And Mark is like, okay, me and Mark did a test call yesterday. And we just kind of like hung out for about 20, 30 minutes and made sure all of our tech was working and everything was cool. And so I get on the call today and he's like, okay, so I've been on the phone with my insurance company for the last 2 hours and I have got to get through this call. And they've had me waiting and now they're finally here. And I know it's really bad timing, but this is basically on you. Okay, go have fun. and he just like tossed me in there. Like, I think he gave me a really brief introduction and then he was gone. And so I basically did almost the whole 50 minute lesson by myself.
Were you nervous? How did it go?
It went pretty well. Cool. He messaged me a little while ago and said that it went really well and that the kids liked it and nothing, you know, set in stone yet, but he said he's planning on maybe having me back do one once a month or something like that.
That'd be cool. Awesome, man. Color theory, huh? Like beginner color theory?
Man, it's very basic color theory, and it's a really hard topic to cover in that period of time and give you anything useful that you can actually like do something with.
Uh-huh.
And so compound that with I'm teaching a range of ages from like 6-7 years old up through like 13-14 years old. And it's like, man, how am I going to tailor this information? Because it's a lot of information to throw at somebody to begin with.
Yeah.
But then when you have that wide of an age range, and I'm trying to do this in a quick and succinct way so that I can get them past the talking about it part into the doing stuff part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of a challenge for me to make sure I was doing it right. I've never done anything like this before. So, I mean, I teach my own kids because we homeschool. So I have that experience. But like teaching a Zoom classroom full of kids and they're all like, you know, everyone wants to pipe in. Everybody wants to say something. And it's hard because it's like somebody will raise their hand and be like, oh, you had a question. And okay, so I'll turn your mic on, ask your question. And they're like, I drew purple. And I'm like, great. I'm glad you did purple. Thanks for chiming in.
How old were the kids?
So it was, like I said, they were anywhere from like 6 or 7 years old up to young teenagers. And okay. there were a few adults on the call as well that were in on the class. So was yeah, it I was trying to appeal to a wide range. What's that?
Was it recorded that anyone can watch it? Like if someone wanted to watch it later?
It was done for, so everybody who was on the call is a subscriber to his fine arts camp. But I have been told that everything was recorded and I should have something to share sometime, I think.
Cool.
So.
Very cool.
Looking forward to see that. I need to learn all about my colors.
There's a lot to it.
No, yeah, there is.
It's a complex topic. So
what about you, Justin, as you're yawning, as I ask you, what have you been up to?
not sleeping at all.
You've been spending too much time. You've been spending too much time getting your top albums of the year.
Well, I've been doing that. I put 120 hours into Assassin's Creed Valhalla since we last spoke. I finally figured out my top 30 albums. And
how many times playing today. Valhalla do you get Blind Guardian stuck in your head?
Never.
Oh, me all the time.
Never. It's a great game, though. I've really enjoyed playing that.
I
bought Cyberpunk, but I've spent so much time.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. I haven't really playing a lot of games. I have been playing Immortals Fenyx Rising. I dig that game a lot. It's
That released right when I got done with Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to play the same type of game exactly.
I feel you. It's very close to an Assassin's Creed game, but it has a lot of Zelda elements for sure.
Yeah.
And it's a collect-a-thon. There's shit to collect everywhere. So if you like that kind of stuff, it's great. I played about an hour of Cyberpunk last night. I have an Xbox Series X. And maybe half an hour into the game, audio started glitching. It was like, go in and then out and in and out. It was just like, I was like, all right, I can't deal with this. So I stopped. And I got, I think, past the first mission, and that was it.
I spent 20 minutes making my character, and then I did the first mission, and then I left to do other things.
Yep.
I'll come back to it. I just haven't had time.
I've been, it's weird, when I sit on the couch, I'm like, I want to... So I relax, and like even last night, I was like, it was about 9 o'clock when I wanted to start playing. 8 o'clock when I wanted to start playing, started up Cyberpunk. And my wife's like, do you want to play Cyberpunk or do you want to play Planet Coaster? And I was like, yeah, you're right. Planet Coaster it is.
I did the same thing last night. I could have played Cyberpunk, but it's such an investment.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the way the game starts, because the game starts you right in the middle of shit.
I felt overwhelmed by starting it.
It's not a learning curve like Assassin's Creed has.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an open world like that, but it just kind of throws you right into the middle of it. And I had the same kind of anxiety, I guess, about playing it. Mm-hmm. Not really anxiety, but just it's just a lot. You have to have the time and the right mindset to get into it. So I played Tetris all night last night because I couldn't get in the right mindset for it.
Sometimes you just have to like turn your mind off and just play a relaxing game like that. Tetris for you. It's Planet Coaster for me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was still working on my metal list last night, so I was just listening to music and playing Tetris all night.
I've been working on my list. I have my top 30 for sure. What's up?
Till 4:30 a.m.
Jesus, man. I have my top 30 for sure. We're going to get to that in a future MSR cast episode, but we'll touch upon it when we do our rewind on this show. We'll do probably our top 10 for everybody. Just touch on it.
Well, if anybody wants to see my top 30, I did post it in the Metal Geeks fan page on Facebook.
Metal Geek Society on Facebook. Yeah, you did.
There's actually a Spotify playlist I put together of my top 30 albums.
So I'm going to go through some of those tomorrow, because there's some bands on there I've never even heard of, and I don't know where they came from, but somehow Justin was able to pull these bands out of his butt or something.
I saw that somebody in the group finally nicknamed Justin for us. Did you see that?
No. What's the nickname?
Metal detector.
He's a metal detector.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I like that. All right, that's it. You should buy that URL right now, dude.
I listened to like 600 albums this year.
Wow.
And I mean, most of them were trash. Like most of them were bad.
Out of the 600, how many were trash? Would you say like 60%, 70%, that high?
Oh, way more than that.
Whoa.
Way more than that.
Wow.
If I actually listened to 600 albums, I'd say probably 490 of them were not albums that I would even want to revisit.
Mm.
So that means there was like
a percentage of the 490 albums that you don't want to revisit are probably on my top 10.
It could be. You and I have very different tastes. Power metal and more, you know, lighthearted stuff. And I'm all about black metal and death metal. I mean, that's what I like.
My list is very few.
Sad, man. Let him be sad.
My list this year is very few power metal things at all. I will tell you, this has been the year of death doom for me. I don't know if it's been the year or there were so many fucking stellar releases. I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Well, the whole year, honestly, up until October or so, I really didn't feel like there was that much quality stuff. Like there was a couple of standouts and then a lot of like, okay stuff, but nothing that I really thought was great. And then from October to December, it was like just this deluge of amazing music. And honestly, a lot of the bands that I consider for my top 30 ended up coming from the latter part of the year. I don't know if that's true for every genre, but for black and death metal, it was definitely true.
I can definitely see that.
So, I mean, I did end up with more albums to choose from than I expected to. I think there was probably like 65, 70 albums in my consideration playlist.
And you whittled them down to 30?
Going through those, I whittled them down to 30. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's some that didn't make the cut that I think you'd be surprised aren't on there. There's a lot of albums I really liked beyond the 30. They just weren't ones that I listened to frequently enough to consider. And then even like Beltaz, like I posted about them today.
Yep.
I discovered them 2 days ago, and I've just been listening to them pretty much nonstop, except for the stuff I was doing for the list. And they made my top 10. That album's fucking fantastic. It's amazing. One of the best releases of this year came out last week. So.
Wow. I'm looking at your list now. Yeah, I'm surprised there's a couple of like The Moors. I thought that would be higher on your list.
It almost was. The Soilwork almost was. I think that's probably the best Soilwork album they put out in 10 years.
But it's just an EP, isn't it?
They have a catalog as an album. It's great. It's five songs, but two of them are 17 minutes long.
It's long. Pretty long. Yeah, it's pretty great. I like that album. It's pretty good.
Wow. What about you, Dave? Have you been diving into any of your albums?
I'll talk about this more I guess when we do our review, but yeah. I haven't had the emotional bandwidth this year to really latch on to a lot of stuff. So I'm going to have a list because there are things that I have listened to consistently through the year, but man, I just haven't had the mental and emotional bandwidth to really be on it. This year has fucking sucked.
Yeah. I mean, it's been actual work for me. I mean, there's been weeks where I don't want to listen to it, and I've had to force myself.
Yeah.
But. Justin picked my number one, though, earlier. I'm not going to tell you which one you picked, but you did pick it. You're right. You're right on the money. And what about you, George? What's your top one metal album?
I don't know.
Run the Jewels?
I haven't even looked, to be honest with you, what would be my top album of the year.
We will be doing our rewind soon, probably right after the first of the year. Give us a little bit more time to work on it, so our top movies and TV and all that. So we'll get back to all this stuff. But the main purpose of this episode is to talk about the Disney investor call they had the other day where they just dropped major bombs everywhere.
It dropped major dick on everybody. They did.
Before I
would like cyberpunk.
Yeah. It was weird. Cause like it was the same night as the video game awards, which doesn't really mean that much, but they always do a lot of trailers and premieres and stuff like that. And we were trying to keep up with both. Not easy. Like that Evil Dead game that they announced looks really cool. Hopefully
amazing.
I have a feeling it feels like the Friday the 13th game.
It looks like a multiplayer game though.
It does. I'm afraid of what it could be, but it is cool. I will say I've been watching a shit ton of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I'm almost to season 8 now.
I got my Always Sunny pops the other day.
I saw those in the store.
Yeah, I got them the other day.
I'm caught up with the day man that's out. So
are you?
I'm finished with what they have out,
and so we will
I'm
be talking about that later. News. Yeah, we'll be talking about some of that news later, but you got the Dayman figures. I saw those at the store the other day.
Well, it's the whole set. It's Dayman, Nightman, yep. The other Dayman, the Troll.
The Nightman and, coming.
The Danny DeVito as the Troll one was pretty cool. I was tempted.
Yeah. They're all great.
I've also started season 3 of Fargo today. The first two seasons are phenomenal. I'm not sure if I'm digging the new one yet. The fourth one's really good too, but the showrunner Noah Hawley, hey, I don't know how to say his name, Hawley. He also did Legion, which I never completed. Legion. I saw the first couple episodes. I want to go back and finish that now. But as a spoiler, what's up, George?
It's just weirder.
Yeah, I know. Fargo's weird too.
6 episodes into that one, I need to pick it back up.
But he's been announced as a showrunner. This is going to be a little spoiler territory of what we're going to be talking about of the Alien series for FX. So that excites me a lot. Number one, I like his filmmaking, his quality, and an Alien TV series. If they don't make it completely Prometheus, I'm going to be happy.
It's going to be on Earth.
Is it? Okay.
I think I read that they had already said that it was going to take place on Earth.
Wait, what's wrong with Prometheus? That's like one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
There's nothing wrong with Prometheus. I like
it's not Alien though.
Movies. It is. I think
I mean, it is, but it's a pre Alien
right.
story.
But when you say Alien, you expect the Alien.
Well, it's going to be a xenomorph on Earth. I mean, that's going to be the story.
Didn't they do that in Alien versus Predator? Twice.
Pretend
those movies didn't happen, Gary.
No, they happened. They didn't decanonize those yet.
Yes, they have. They had to make way for that shitty Alien Covenant movie.
Yeah, that movie sucked. It was not a good successor to Prometheus.
No, it was not.
I don't even remember. Oh, that's the last one that came out, right?
Yeah,
that's the okay. last one they made. I already forgot about it.
They're like, let's make more xenomorph shit look stupid. And I'm like, oh, okay.
It had potential. Like, there were parts of it that were cool. It was just like, the final fight scene was basically like, let's open the airlock. Okay, we won. Let's move on with our lives.
I thought all of the David stuff I thought was cool. All of that stuff I thought was good.
Yeah.
But that was also the best stuff about Prometheus too, was David's journey.
It was. Yeah.
I liked those.
So I mean, I'm excited about the possibility of a well done Alien series.
I love
that franchise. So
yeah.
In the battle between aliens versus predators, I'm Team Xenomorph.
Right.
So. I don't know, man. Predators are pretty badass too, though.
Not saying they're not, but
anyway, Karen.
So let's just move into the topic. We're just going to go straight into it here. So Disney had their investor meeting the other night. And like we said, they dropped their collective cyberpunk created schlong everywhere. There's 100 projects that were announced, and about 80% will be on Disney Plus. So it was that news. They also
worth it.
Yeah, that's the only thing they really have going for them right now. Truthfully.
I mean, you're basically paying for The Mandalorian right now, so
yeah, for
it'll be
now,
nice
yeah,
to get some more value out of the
They did announce a $1 price hike, which I'm okay with that. That's not that big of a deal.
I mean, you're getting how much more content on Disney Plus for just one more dollar?
And the quality of the content that they're promising, you know, it's movie quality content, so I'm okay with that. I'm good for another 2 years anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm already in the bag for two more years.
Before we move on completely, do you guys want to discuss The Mandalorian, the last two episodes?
Sure.
So,
yeah, why not?
When did Slave One turn into a rental service?
The moment where he, for some reason, felt obligated to help The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Like, I don't know. He didn't do Boba Fett any favors.
Well, he gave him his armor.
He gave him the armor.
Took the armor. He didn't give it to him. He just went and took it in the midst of battle.
Right, but they agreed not to.
They agreed
about
before
it.
That he was going to give it to him.
But and I mean, also they both adhere to some sort of Mando code, even if they're not.
Yeah.
From complete. The same sect of the Mando people. So I mean, it's really not that far of a stretch for Boba to help him.
And you know? Boba Fett was really able to clean it up nicely in between episodes.
He was.
It was nice. It was a good job.
It took some time to paint that. You know, it takes time to go from planet to planet.
And he was driving the whole time, too, and he was able to to clean it up like that.
It doesn't need to be drive when it's in hyperspeed.
That's true.
The fight sequence stuff with Boba Fett was really fun.
Yes.
It was, to me, it was really cool to actually get to see Boba Fett on screen kicking asses.
This is the most time you've seen Boba Fett on screen being able to be himself. And it was super for me being a nerd of, I'm a huge fan of Boba Fett and Slave One, and being able to see inside the ship and how, when it would rotate into position to fly, everything going on inside, I was just like mind blown. I was like, that's amazing. didn't take much for me, but that was it. And then the freaking bomb that he dropped.
The episode before, they used every piece of armor that he owns, which is great.
Like
the knee blasters, the rocket launcher, everything. And what's even better is that he aimed for the other one and still killed them both.
That's right.
No, seeing Boba Fett fire his rocket was about the best thing that's come out of the Mandalorian series.
And the last episode, they had the Bill Burr character back.
Dude, I loved Bill. Like Mayfeld is like my favorite character now.
He's great.
I loved him in this episode. Well,
I really didn't like his character last season, but they totally made up for it this season.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff I didn't like about last season, they made up for it this season, but now they made new mistakes this season for me to get upset, so hopefully they'll fix it by the third season.
So, the Imperial officer that they were dealing with on at that station, it was bugging me who that guy was. I'm like, I know I've seen him before,
It was bugging me, too. Who was it?
He was just in Three from Hell, if you saw Three from Hell.
Haven't seen it yet.
Don't waste your time.
That's why I haven't seen it yet.
He's the knight. The knight. What's the Game of Thrones knight guy? The knight dude.
Nightman Cometh.
Nightman Cometh. He was the day man from It's Always Sunny. No, the Night King. That's what his name is. He's been in a bunch of different stuff too, but yeah, I had just seen him in Three from Hell. I'm like, oh, dude looks really familiar. So
that movie's so fucking awful.
We don't have to talk about that one now, but
just avoid at all costs.
There is so many,
even if you like Devil's Rejects, don't waste your time.
There is just so much like, we don't know how to get from the second movie to the third movie. So let's just show a lot of shit that happened like on news feeds and stuff like that. I'm like, that was stupid.
That was the best part of the movie, Carrie.
Oh God!
The intro was the best part of the movie.
Jesus! All right.
Everything that happened after the last appearance of Sid Hyde was just shit. Which is like an hour and 48 minutes in the movie.
He died like
it is so very close to the beginning. I haven't been so disappointed in a film in a long time. So.
All right. So, any other thoughts about Mandalorians?
Yeah, each episode keeps getting shorter. I wonder how long the finale will be. Probably 10 minutes by now, right?
Well, because they either tell a filler episode that's an hour long, or they tell an episode with real story and it's 40 minutes. Like, that's just the way they go.
Filler too. Like, it was just another side quest. This is like season two of the side quest is what they should call it.
Season one was all side quest too.
It's Assassin's Creed side quest, and then you think back to the main storyline.
You could tell this entire storyline in like 5.5 episodes.
Yeah,
so they're doing a Marvel Netflix show out of it.
It doesn't like that nature of it isn't really bothering me that much.
It's not me either, truthfully.
It's an episodic thing. It's like, yeah, like I get what you guys are saying. I'm just saying it doesn't really bother me. The episodic nature of it, I think, is kind of neat.
But it's based on episodic nature, like episodic old school, like action Western movies.
For the most part, I agree, Dave. I mean, it is very fun. And when certain things happen, they're super fun to watch. And I mean, all the characters are likable and interesting. And it's Star Wars. It's a great universe, no matter what.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff's forgivable. It's just... they walk right up to the edge, and it's like if they take one more step, it's going to really, really affect how people perceive the series. And they've done a good job so far of tiptoeing over that edge and then saying, okay, no more filler. Here's something great, you know? And then one day they're going to tiptoe too far, and then it's going to be like, ugh, this whole show is just all filler, and then people are going to stop caring. That's my
concern. I did think it was kind of interesting that the last time we talked about it, we were kind of discussing this, you know, the format of pick up the side quest from the NPC, find a babysitter immediately, go get the MacGuffin, bring the MacGuffin back, all that kind of stuff. And that eventually they're going to have to do something. And it was like then the next episode, it seemed like, hey, something has happened now. So it was timely in that way, I think.
I mean, it was basically like you don't need a babysitter anymore. So
yeah.
The Imperials are babysitting right now.
Yeah.
Grand Moff Gideon.
Grogu-sized handcuffs.
Yeah.
Those are so cute. Why would you have child handcuffs like that?
This is the Empire, and they deal with all types. And there are tiny species within the realm.
And they do capture kids as well. So.
And they do capture children because they're complete Nazi shitheads. So I don't have a hard time believing that the Empire had tiny manacles to put on.
But what I find so interesting is like in that episode with the Bill Burr one, the last one, it was like they were just in that in the Imperial base there, and when they came in, everybody was they're all cheering him on, and like he went to go to that machine. Yeah. I love how they keep in everything based off of 1970s technology.
I just love that he shot first. That's the best thing about it. Like,
yeah.
With no question about that one.
Honestly, like the character was still kind of giving me the same vibe as the first season up until that moment. And then I was like, oh, I like this now.
Yeah. Well, that was cool because, like, he's the same character, but, like, I like him now.
Yeah.
And I did like, you know, this was the most we'd ever seen of the Mandalorian without his helmet. And I did like that, you know, Bill, what's his Mayfield, right? Made yeah. sure to say, hey, I'm not going to tell anybody about, you know, your helmet, you know, what your face looks like or anything. He's like, 'cause you're doing.
Well, because they had already had that conversation in the car that he's like, look, yeah, you have a code. Everybody has a code
right.
until shit gets real enough that the code goes out the window. And that was just him acknowledging that, like, hey, it's fine. I get it. I never saw anything. You know, you took care of shit that needed to be taken care of. That's what he respected,
yep.
you know.
I wonder so if we're gonna,
it was consistent with his character. It was a cool episode. I dug it.
I wonder if we're going to see a spinoff series with him, too.
Yeah, I hope not.
He might be in the New Republic show.
Okay.
I mean, there's like 70 shows coming out, yeah. so I'm sure they'll stick him somewhere.
All right, so let's move on to that. We're going to get to the Star Wars at the end. We're going to save the Star Wars and Marvel for the best stuff for the end. As we said earlier, there's about 100 projects announced. I'm just going to go through a few ones. So Hulu, they announced there's a show coming out with Martin Short and Steve Martin, which seems interesting. So FX, okay, here's our It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia news. 4 more seasons.
Yep.
Making it the longest running live action show ever.
Yeah.
Fucking It's Always Sunny. That's the show that gets that honor.
Just rename it. It's Always Running.
I saw Charlie posted and he's like, 4 more chances. I mean, to actually, like, you know, give us the recognition we deserve.
I mean, I'm really into that show right now. So I'm excited.
It's a great show.
I've been watching it for a long time. I like that show quite a bit.
And FX said they plan to do 30 original shows a year now, so they're killing it.
They got all that Hulu money now, so
yeah,
that's why.
That's true. I guess there's going to be a new Jeff Bridges series. Taika Waititi's comedy about Native American teenagers in Oklahoma called Reservation Dogs. And finally, we're going to get the Why the Last Man series. And so they say. This is all announced, so hopefully it's all true.
Yeah, well, the kid, that they shot the pilot twice already, and now mm-hmm. they're going to have to reshoot it again because that kid quit.
Right. The first one was shot by somebody different. It was Dan Trachtenberg.
No, he didn't do the pilot.
I thought he did the pilot.
No, I don't think
so. Never made that far?
Double check that, but it was somebody else who did the pilot.
Okay. And then we got the, you know, the Alien announcement. Not too far in the future here on Earth, you're right. Support of Ridley Scott, but it's Noah Hawley, Fargo, Legion. I cannot recommend Fargo enough to you guys. It's amazing. Let's move on to Disney Plus. Some of these are a big why and what the fuck. There's going to be live action Mighty Ducks series. A Turner and a Hooch series.
Yeah.
What?
I don't care what you say. I'm in for Turner and Hooch. I love that movie.
So like, I've never seen anything Mighty Ducks related. I've never seen any of those movies. Uh-huh. And that one just feels bafflement to me. Turner and Hooch, I just saw as we were getting started here. I didn't even know that until we were getting started. I will watch a Turner and Hooch series because I too loved that movie.
I watched it last year. It was fantastic.
What's the show going to be about, guys? Is it just going to be the movie all over again?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll check it out.
It could be anything.
Starring Josh Peck, who used to be a Nickelodeon kid, the Adventures of something and something, Josh and somebody, I don't know. Like Drake Bell guy?
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah. Yeah. He used to be, he's like skinny now, but he used to be like a little fat kid. He lost a lot of weight as he got older. Yeah. John Stamos show. There's a show called The Mysterious Benedict Society starring Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal.
Can we pause here for a second and talk about A Recipe for Desire? Can we pause here for a second and mention that?
Do you have A Recipe for Desire?
Have you heard about this?
I've seen the trailer.
The John Stamos Lifetime show. where he portrays Colonel Sanders in like a romantic comedy.
That's not John Stamos.
It's Mario Lopez. Mario Lopez. You're right.
But
can we at least talk about that for a second?
Sure. Talk about it all you'd like.
It's a hysterical turn on their marketing that they've been building for the last, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
It's a hilarious turn of their marketing.
Their marketing is great.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I watched the first episode of the new Saved by the Bell.
I've heard it's only supposed to be like 15 minutes long. It's not actually a full.
It's a marketing ploy. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's a good marketing ploy.
Yeah.
No, it's funny.
And I did watch the first episode on Peacock of the Saved by the Bell remake or redo.
Reboot.
It's actually pretty funny.
Because they actually have characters from the original series.
They do. And they have, Paul Mark Gosselaar, that was the name?
Zach.
So he's the mayor, but there's a point where he's like, I was even a lawyer. And they showed clip from Franklin and Bash as him as a lawyer. I was like, that's funny.
We went to that con in College Station. We saw Mr. Belding hitting on like 15-year-old girls. So it kind of tainted Saved by the Bell for me. Remember that, George?
I do remember that. I think about Saved by the Bell.
Jeez.
It's like in my head, so I can't watch anything Saved by the Bell anymore because Mr. Belding just comes across.
Well, Mr. Belding's not in it. They've replaced him. The principal of the school is John Michael Higgins. And he's pretty funny.
All right.
So, I don't pay for Peacock, so I don't get to watch the rest of it until they make it free. No, only the first episode was free. The rest of it's like behind their damn paywall.
Oh, I thought it was all free to everybody.
Nope. Some stuff is not, so.
Okay.
And I got this new box from.
Peacock very often, so.
Yeah, I got this box from, Xfinity sent me the Flex box. I'm like, oh, you hook it up, you get the unlimited Peacock. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll hook that up. Destroyed my internet. And, I've had internet problems for 2 days since I hooked that thing up.
It's blame it on Peacock.
They did give you the unlimited Peacock.
They did. Apparently. Let's see. Going back to Disney Plus series, they're doing a live action Beauty and the Beast with George's favorite Josh Gad.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No. It's just going to be, it looks like it's just Luke Evans and Josh Gad. So it's Gaston.
It's a prequel series between
Gaston.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a mini series. It's not like a whole show.
Well, yeah. Well, this says series, so who knows?
I mean, we all know what happens to Gaston. He don't make it.
That's why it's a prequel. What do you mean? What happens to Gaston? I don't understand what you're talking about.
He gets got, man.
Oh. That's right. There's going to be a Swiss Family Robinson series from the Outlander creator, Ron Moore. My wife's a big fan of that show.
I feel like
they've 100 times. So
they got them.
I feel like there's probably some stuff within that property, and it's been dormant for so long.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some potential to possibly do something interesting with that.
Have to connect to the Disney Parks attraction somehow.
They haven't got rid of it. That actually care to watch it though, like that has zero appeal to me whatsoever. And I mean, most Disney stuff doesn't. But like, I haven't thought about Swiss Family Robinson since I was like 8.
Well, that's why I'm saying. That's why I'm saying. I feel like there's kind of a blank slate where they could go anywhere they wanted.
It's gonna be like Lost now.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they can go like the Lost in Space route where it's all in space.
Maybe.
Because essentially that's what Lost in Space is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Family in space.
That's true. You're not wrong. And then there's going to be a Percy Jackson and the Olympians TV series.
That's actually really exciting because those books are pretty good.
I never read the books.
I have a lot of friends that are big fans of it.
I saw the first movie. That's it.
I've heard good things about the books, and I've never heard anything good about the movies. So maybe a TV series is a better way to go.
Maybe.
Yeah, it is very terrible. And you know what? This would probably be like the kick in the balls for Warner Brothers to think about making a Harry Potter show, not based on the books, but like in the world of Harry Potter.
Like tertiary characters or?
Yeah, like something, it would be smarter than to tap into that wizarding world and not, you know.
Who has TV rights for WB stuff, Warner Brothers? Who's, is that, I don't even remember which streaming.
HBO Max?
Oh yeah, that's right. Max. HBO Max, yeah. I could see them doing that.
All the stuff's going straight to HBO Max for the next year, which is another big thing to talk about.
Yeah. Let's talk about that real quick before we move on. So
insane thing that they claimed that. They're like, you know what? Fuck your movie theaters. We're just going to put it all on our
streets. Well, yes. And they also announced they're not going to have any more free. You can't get it for free anymore, or like a free sample of HBO Max. But
you still get it if you're an AT&T customer.
That's right. That's where I get it. I know it's a big slap in the face to the movie theaters, but they're not back yet. And I mean,
it's nothing they can do about it. I mean, the coronavirus is still out there. Even with vaccines, by middle of the year, not everybody's going to have it.
No.
Movie theaters are still not going to be 100% safe.
No,
I mean, there's no good solution. So rather than let these movies just sit dormant for a year, they're doing something about it. And I can understand why the directors and stuff are pissed off about it, but at the same time, like, HBO's trying to do something to, like, keep people from killing themselves sitting in their houses.
Yeah. new entertainment is good.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to delve into this topic, I think the major issue is that they did it without telling anyone. They just kind of, like, dropped the fucking gauntlet and say, this is how it is, as opposed to giving a chance for people to argue for rights and residuals. Because that's how these directors and actors, they make a living, is off of residuals and
box office reports and stuff like that.
You're overstepping a lot of contract. You're doing a lot of loophole on contracts here by not giving any of the actors any of those back end money that they're promised. So, for example, almost majority of the actors on Dune took a major pay decrease just so they can get the movie to production. And they were all made deals that they would get money on the back end. And now that's no longer an option if it's going to be in the house day and date.
Yeah.
You'll never make enough money to get that back end money.
I get through that point for sure.
And so that's why a lot of Warner Brothers is like single-handedly changing the way the movie industry is operating. And whether it's for the best or for the worst, that's for yet to be determined, I guess. But
and Disney's only done it with a few because they had to, because it was like dinner in the middle of coronavirus. By the way, I finally saw Mulan last weekend.
Oh, I saw that too. By the way,
I liked it. It wasn't bad. Like I fell asleep during it, but
it was the worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
It was just I think it's the most successful of the live action things that they've done, because they just decided to just straight up do it as a Wuxia film.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I'm sure it's better than Lion King live action.
This is real live action.
They didn't try to do it like all of the other live action stuff they did. I mean, it looks and feels and sounds like a Wuxia, like a Chinese Wuxia film. And so I was like, yeah, it's cool, fun.
My problem with that, Dave, is that they kind of wanted it to be like that kind of a movie. They wanted to feel like a fantasy-esque Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but not go the full distance. They kind of just dipped their toes.
Well, they made it more family-friendly as well, too. They have to.
And, well, I'm not talking about being extreme violent. They kind of dipped their toes in the fantasy realm, but they didn't go all the way. And the best part of the movie, in my opinion, was Jason Scott Lee. I thought he was a great portrayal of a villain.
I didn't realize that was him for a long time. I was like, holy crap. That was cool.
Yeah, man. But anyway, Mulan's terrible. I can see why no one fucking wanted to pay $30 to watch that shit.
I wouldn't have wanted to pay $30. I would have been upset with that, for sure.
It was not a Bill and Ted based music.
No.
That's very true.
All right, so back to that's a great segue into Disney films. There's going to be a Hocus Pocus sequel. Are you guys fans of that movie?
Yeah, yeah, man. It's like a Halloween classic.
Is it really? I want to pull a George here. Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through, so.
Here to argue this fact. She will argue till she's blue in the face that it's a Halloween classic.
Gary, you know me. You know I live for horror films.
Yeah.
And, like, I choose to watch Hocus Pocus and bend my rotation on Halloween.
I don't think I've ever fully seen it, so.
It's one of the best Halloween family-friendly movies there is.
It is.
So
I will say this, though. So, like, and we can probably collectively bring our wives in here to beat up on Carrie. because my wife's in the same boat. She loves it as well. I will say this, though. The kids are kind of unbearable. But, like...
But the witches make up
the
for it.
The witches are awesome, though. Yeah. The witches are great.
What's her face, who plays the main witch, like, just goes full into the
but
character.
But it's Sarah Jessica Parker in it.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me wrong. No. Carrie, I hate Sarah Jessica Parker. She's terrible in almost everything.
Yes.
But in this movie, she plays a stupid, ditzy witch, and...
It's probably the best thing she's ever done.
Going, like the whole movie. Okay. It's like it is what she is.
So she's not playing.
They're making a sequel. I don't know how it's going to happen because they died in the last one.
What? Thanks. I haven't seen it.
They died before the last one started too. So
there's another black died though. Like really,
another black candle somewhere. That's what you know. There's a second black candle.
They just need another virgin. Is all.
Apparently there is a sequel book, and Catherine read it, and she said it was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Newer, or?
If it's based on the book at all that they wrote, that Disney published, then it's probably terrible.
Just give it to Favreau. It'll be watchable.
let Favreau do everything from now on, I guess.
Okay, so moving on. There's going to be a Zac Efron 3 Men and a Baby remake.
Hey man, I like Zac Efron.
I do too. I like that show that he did on Netflix about him traveling about the world and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but it's fun to watch.
Zac Efron travels the world and talks about fixing the world. Part one.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it's called.
I don't think so either. It was good though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. So there's going to be the Blackish creator, Kenya Barris, is going to do Cheaper by the Dozen. Some of these I'm just going to fast forward straight through. Another Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie. There's going to be another Ice Age franchise movie called The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. And they're making an animated Night at the Museum film, all on Disney Plus. These are all been announced for Disney Plus. Okay, I have to ask you, George, about this next film, this project they're working on.
Okay.
Because I know one of the people in it you despise, but I know it's one of your favorite properties.
Okay.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
Starring John Mulaney and Andy Samberg, directed by the Lonely Island guy, Akiva Schaffer.
Is he the one who did that time travel movie not so long ago?
Yes, I believe so.
He's
yes,
the same guy
you're correct.
Palm Springs.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm leery. I don't like what's his face, the comedian guy.
Andy Samberg or John Mulaney.
Either one. I don't think either one is very. However, I did like Palm Springs.
That's right. You did like it.
I did like Samberg in it. Maybe because he wasn't his usual dickhole, I think I'm funny self. Maybe because he kind of played a straight man in the Palm Springs. That's why I enjoyed it as much. But in this one, I'm really leery because I'm a big Rescue Rangers fan. And the fact that it's a hybrid live action movie makes me...
It's going to be like the Chipmunks.
They should have just got Tom Selleck and Harrison Ford to do the voices. That would have been
awesome.
where were you during the pitch meeting, dude? Come on.
Also, I think what's going to happen is they're going to get them as starring characters. Like, Tom Selleck and Harrison Ford are going to pop up somewhere.
Probably.
They got to. I mean, that's who they're based off of, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know, like... Sonic the Hedgehog wasn't terrible, and that was a live-action hybrid. But is Andy Samberg and John Mulaney their voices going to be high-pitched to where you don't even recognize them?
Maybe.
Well, I don't know. Like, think about how they're handling Huey, Dewey, and Louie in DuckTales now. Like, they've completely recharacterized the voices of those characters, and it makes them listenable. And I don't see why you couldn't do that with Chip and Dale at this point.
No, you're not wrong. But, you know, by the way, DuckTales got canceled.
What?
Did it?
Yeah, after 3 seasons got canceled.
No.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Damn.
It does suck. But, you know, it is what it is. I hope it's good. I'm going to reserve my judgment until a trailer comes out.
Okay. Hopefully it's not like the Chipmunks. That's all I'm saying.
I hope it's nothing like the Smurfs, which I'm really scared it's going to turn out to be.
And if it's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, we need all the Rescue Rangers. We need Monterey Jack. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about? The guy who plays the big guy, the big mouse. Come on, guys.
Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack.
I just said that.
Nick Frost needs to play Monterey Jack.
I finished that Nick Frost series on Amazon Prime, too.
It's great, right?
Yeah, it was cool. I really liked it.
Fun.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
I love Nick Frost, though.
Yeah,
but Nick Frost would make a great Monterey Jack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And what's the female's
name? Who do you have to play Gadget?
Gadget, thank you.
Who's your pick for Gadget?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough one. Like,
Alison Brie.
Yeah, Alison Brie would be good, or
I could listen to her play any part.
What's her face from SNL would be good.
What's her face? Which one?
Come on, man. She's going to play the cheetah chick in Wonder Woman.
Oh, Kristen Wiig?
Yeah, Kristen Wiig would be good.
I could see that. Interesting.
I'm trying to think of people Disney's worked with in the past.
Rosario Dawson.
I could listen to her do anything as well.
I'll pass on that one.
All right. So we're also going to have a Robert Zemeckis's Pinocchio movie with Tom Hanks, Peter Pan and Wendy movie, and there's going to be a sequel to Enchanted called Disenchanted with Amy Adams.
It's a sequel to Enchanted.
Sequel, yeah. And we've all been waiting for it. We're getting a sequel to Sister Act. Sister Act 3 is coming. Whoopi Goldberg. Yep.
I mean, that was the only news I was excited about.
That's the reason why you got Disney Plus 2 years ago, because you're waiting for
Sister Act.
I knew
they were eventually going to bring a Sister Act 3. So.
Sister Act in the old folks' home? What the fuck is this going to be about?
Maybe they're going to paint some eyebrows on her.
She's going to be running from her grandpa pimp, and she's going to go into a church, and she's going to be like this old lady pimp. You know, like, I don't know. It could be all kinds of things.
It's going to be like where she has to save the old folks home is where I'm going to.
She's going to reprise her role as Guinan from Star Trek. You know, there's a lot of things that could happen.
It's true. Actually coming to theaters is finally going to be Jungle Cruise. It's set for July of 2021.
Isn't Pinocchio made to come to theaters?
It was originally. Now it's going straight to Disney Plus.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to theaters.
No, all those last ones I mentioned in that segment were all Disney Plus.
Man, Robert Zemeckis, man, can't catch a break.
I know, right?
That last Witches movie was terrible.
Oh, it was horrible.
That was terrible.
His last movies have not been good.
The Marvel movie was also terrible.
Let's see. There's going to be a Lion King prequel, live action prequel, and the actual live action Little Mermaid. Now, this article doesn't mention anything about the Willow series, but I'm excited for Willow.
It's going to Disney Plus, though.
Yep.
Well, is Val Kilmer reprising his role?
I don't know if he can.
No, yeah. I don't think he can't even speak anymore.
No.
Like, but Warwick Davis is reprising his role.
Yep.
So
it's about his daughter, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I actually talked to Chris Claremont at Comic Palooza last year because I got him to sign my you know how him and George Lucas did 3 books based on Willow prequels. Yeah. And I asked him, I was like, so there's this rumor going around about a Willow, series coming out. And he wasn't like totally upset, but he was like, eh.
He was evasive.
Yeah. I don't think they've reached out to him about it. I'm like, it'd be cool if it was based off your books. The books are great, but they're probably not.
Did you read the books? I didn't even know they wrote books.
There's 3 books in the series. Yeah. George Lucas and Chris Claremont.
Like a sequel to the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I might have to check these out.
Yeah, they're really cool. Let's see. Going back to some animated stuff, we're going to have Raya and the Last Dragon. It's going to start.
I'm actually really excited for that. It looks really good.
It's going to come out March 2021. Both in theaters and an added price on Disney Plus. Now they're calling that Premier Access. So, like, what I guess what Mulan did, but
yeah, that's what they called it. When
oh, is that what it is?
Out. Yeah.
And that stars Kelly Marie Tran and Awkwafina. I think Awkwafina is hilarious. Her show that was on Comedy Central was really funny. There's also a series coming from Disney, just to Disney Plus for animated. We're going to have Baymax from Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Tiana from Princess and the Frog, and Moana, all having Disney Plus animated series. They're working, collaborating with an African entertainment company called Kugali to create a Disney Plus science fiction animated series called Iwaju that's set in a futuristic version of Lagos and will premiere in 2022. Seems cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they gave more details about Lin-Manuel Miranda. He has an animated project called Encanto. And it's being done by the people who did Zootopia.
That means enchanted in Spanish, by the way.
Thank you.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't? What? I thought it does.
It means I sing.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh?
I thought I meant enchanted.
No, enchanted means enchanted.
No.
Yeah, Encanto, yeah, that's right. It is. Yeah, Encantar is singing.
What? I thought I said enchanted when I read it.
No, that's Disenchanted. That's the sequel to that movie.
Yeah, well, anyway. Go on.
So, okay. So, El Encanto is the charm, but Encanto as a verb, I'm pretty sure, means to sing.
I think you're right.
Maybe not. What am I thinking of? Is it just Kanto? Anyway, we don't have to get sidetracked on that.
No, we're not. I Googled it, and it's like, it's an upcoming American computer animated musical film, fantasy film. All right. Let's move on to Pixar's. So, looks like Doug is going to have its own franchise spinoff.
Like...
Doug the dog.
Doug Funny?
No, not Doug. Not Doug Funny. That'd be great too.
I would watch that.
Doug Day is about the dog from Up trying to make his way in suburbia. And Cars series starring Lightning McQueen and Mater driving around the country. I don't know about that one. So their next After Soul comes out on Disney Plus this Christmas. Their next feature is the film Luca, which is about two friends growing up in Italy. And then, did you guys ever see that short called Bao?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the director of that is getting her own full-length movie called Turning Red, about a teenager who turns into a giant red panda when she gets too excited.
Okay.
And then they announced Lightyear.
I saw a picture of that. So I actually wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah.
About the character Buzz Lightyear before he came a toy? Like, is it about the cartoon that he's
I don't know.
I think so. That was my takeaway as well. I think it's about because yeah, I haven't read much about it, but just what I've read tells me that okay, so Chris Evans is voicing
That's right.
Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
So
this, I'll be right back.
He's not, this isn't about the toy. It's about the character that the toy is based on. And so to me, that says this has to be whatever media it is in the Toy Story universe that the Buzz Lightyear toys came from.
Okay. Okay.
It's about the actor who plays Buzz Lightyear that they make a movie out of.
Maybe. I mean, they did that whole Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger animated series.
Yeah. And that series is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Probably available on Disney Plus, isn't it? I would imagine.
Not that I've seen, but
it will, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, we need more Toy Story, right?
I guess. I felt like we tapped that that well enough. Especially,
it's probably a good thing Justin just walked away.
I know, right? His least favorite movie we know is Toy Story.
Also, like, those shorts that they make are great. I think those are, like, as long as they keep making those little 10, 15-minute shorts.
Sure.
I think that's all the time we really need to jump back into the Toy Story universe.
Yeah. But
if they feel like they got a good take on it, I'll give it a shot.
So that's it for Pixar, basically. We're going to move on to Lucasfilm, but do we want to wait for our illustrious co-host to get back?
Sure. In the meantime, I'll concede to George. Encanto is to charm, is the charm. Canto is to sing. So,
ah, motherfucker!
Did you just admit that he was right?
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. We're never going to hear the end of it now.
I know we can't live with him anymore, but.
Wow. All
right. It's good to know I was right, guys.
I'm trying to show George a good example.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to know that George Tripsis is always right in this regard.
So let's
take the lesson stuck.
Out of these announcements that we've gone over before previously now, which has been the one you're looking forward to the most?
I mean, in different to different degrees, I guess.
Sure.
Always Sunny, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The Alien series has my attention, and Willow.
Yes.
Excited about that too.
Yeah.
Just in what we've covered so far.
I'm hoping Willow doesn't get like a pushback.
I mean, Ron Howard's involved with it, so.
No. Like, I hope they don't like try to push back the production dates because they're supposed to start. Soon.
Yeah.
I don't think they have been able to start shooting as of yet. And plus, the guy who made Crazy Rich Asians is the guy who's like the creative force behind it and directing it.
Oh, really? John Chu? Yeah.
Is it John Chu? I couldn't remember his
name. I think so.
Anyway, I hope Willow's great. I just hope it kind of like takes what already exists and makes it better.
Yeah.
That's my hope for it.
I hope they explore the whole mythology of the world and just all, if they can just do episodes with their world building, I'm happy with it.
Most definitely.
And not make everything a side mission. All right. So we're waiting for Justin to get back, and he's back before we got into the best of the best. So let's talk about Lucasfilm.
Cool. All
right, do you want to do Lucas? Do you want to do Star Wars, or do we want to do Marvel first? That's up to you guys.
Whatever, it's your show.
I was trying to be democratic about it.
Let's do Marvel first.
Okay, let's do it. So I'm excited because they showed the first long trailer for WandaVision, which comes out in January. And of course they use Daydream Believer from the Monkees, and they do, you know, they do that typical thing in trailers where they slow it down, they creep it out. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
They're marketing this directly to Carrie.
They did. They said, I think Carrie's favorite character is the Vision. And what's his favorite band? It's the Monkees, right? Let's just make this trailer straight for him. Fuck everyone else.
It's that targeted marketing. There's a different trailer for everybody.
Oh, is that what it was? I got that trailer pumped directly into my brain. That's getting too advanced when they can start doing that.
It's coming. You're almost there.
I think the show, look, I know it's only going to be 6 episodes, but they showed a lot more in this trailer of what's sort of going on, why is somebody controlling her? Why is she stuck in her own mind? Which is, I think, is what's happening. Because she's gone crazy after Vision died. And I think she's stuck in her own head, and somebody's keeping her there. But who is keeping her there?
Vision.
But Vision's dead.
But is he, though?
Maybe. We don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think it looks cool. The whole different eras of sitcoms they're going with each year. It's
It's okay. I mean, it's one of the least exciting things that's on the agenda for the Marvel shows.
Come on.
I like Wanda Maximoff. I like Vision. I think it's an okay storyline. It's not my favorite.
Do you think this is going to somehow lead into like bringing more mutants into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and then like the House of M stuff? Cause she's going crazy.
They've already kind of established that she's not a mutant. They've already kind of established that she's not Magneto's daughter. And like,
but they sort of had stuff, to at that point. Now they can. They could retcon some of that stuff.
Marvel does not retcon their own cinematic universe that way. Like, there are certain things that can be retconned, but they won't retcon like character backstories that way unless they completely start over with a new series, you know, like Spider-Man does. but I don't think they're going to retcon that in order to get more mutants. If they want to add more mutants, they'll just do it with Deadpool. You know, that's the best way they have for doing that.
Okay. What about you guys? What's your opinion on the WandaVision?
I don't have a strong opinion at this point. I'm not familiar with the source material. And I haven't watched the new trailer either. So well, that's not entirely true. I saw little snippets of it, but I didn't watch it all together. But yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on it.
Well, I know it comes out soon. It comes out January 15th, they announced, so.
Like, I'm going to watch it.
Well, of course.
But
everybody's going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff before then, though. We got Wonder Woman coming out on Christmas Day, and then Letterkenny's coming out 26th. So we'll have plenty to watch before WandaVision comes out.
That's true. Wonder Woman 1984 is in theaters and on HBO Max on Christmas Day. I'll probably be watching that. Isn't Soul available on Christmas Day as well on Disney Plus?
Yeah, it's Christmas Day.
Yeah. So I know what I'll be doing that morning. Usually, because we usually go to the movies that morning, you know? I just watch movies from home now.
Carrie?
The movies are coming to me. That's right. next on the Marvel agenda was a trailer for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
See, that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah, the trailer looked so good.
Okay, I'll give you that. The trailer looks really good. And like, I like the casting for those characters. I've always liked casting for those characters. I think it has a lot of potential, but it's also one of those that they could completely mess up. There's too many variables, I think, at this point.
I think they really nailed the chemistry between Anthony Mackie and
Sebastian Stahl.
Yeah.
Whatever Stan. His name is. Soon to be like Luke Skywalker is what we should call him. I don't know. The trailer just looks good. It looks like they're going to deal a lot with Falcon dealing with the weight of having to be Captain America. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be dealing with some pretty current issues, like modern like social dilemmas.
That's definitely true. I mean, all that stuff was in that comic series when he took over as Captain America. But if I got to be real honest, I didn't love his time as Captain America. Like
in the comics,
it was just okay. Like there, some of the more like modern issues and things that get talked about in it. I think that's great. I think it's great. They're doing that, and it's a good avenue for them to discuss the state of the world. But story wise, it really just wasn't all that good. Like, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I have some reservations about it, but it's Marvel. So I'll watch it. Of course I watch everything Marvel.
It looks like a good, fun, buddy action comedy that I'm totally down with. But the one thing that I'm looking forward the most, Carrie hasn't mentioned yet, so wait till he mentions
that. We're getting there.
Okay.
Are you talking about Loki?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loki looks great.
I think that's the one trailer that had the most promise out of everything that Marvel showed.
Well, I don't think... okay, so I know the series that this Loki's going to be based off of. And it's a fantastic series. Like, it's great storytelling from beginning to end. I'm very, very excited about Loki. I actually haven't watched the trailer on purpose because I don't want to taint my idea in my head of it. So I usually just watch it because I don't care. But I'm very excited about Loki. But that's not even the one I'm most excited about.
We'll get to that. Well, there's going to be a lot of alternative universe versions of Loki in the series. Which is pretty cool. They even touch on the vote Loki holds situation from the comics.
Well, it's the storyline where Loki comes to Earth as a younger version of himself, and he's dealing with the past and the future versions of himself interfering with his own timeline. There's a chance for it to get very convoluted.
Yep.
But
that's why they have the TVA, the time variance organization. What is the TVA? Whatever it stands for.
Yeah.
That's where Owen Wilson is his handler, which is pretty funny.
I'm very optimistic about this series, so it'll be good.
Which is the one you're talking about? Can I guess?
Moon Knight.
Oh, Moon Knight.
Definitely Moon Knight. There's nothing else that was announced that I'm like, holy shit, but Moon Knight, absolutely. If you don't know Moon Knight is Marvel's version of Batman, except yeah. He's about 10 times more vicious, and he has a mystical element to him that Batman does not have.
I'm intrigued.
Assuming that they go that way.
They will.
They will.
Why wouldn't they?
Because there's a version of the comic book character, from what I remember, there's a version of the character that where they kind of just led you to believe that he's kind of crazy.
Oh no, there's been four different Moon Knights, and there's an ancient Egyptian god called Khonshu that is the power of Moon Knight, and whoever is the carrier of the Moon Knight guard is inhabited by the spirit.
It's like
of
Ghost
Khonshu.
Rider.
Kind of like that, yeah. But not exactly. It's a little bit different. And some of them can handle it just fine. Like one of the versions of Moon Knight, he's like a multi-billionaire, just like Bruce Wayne, you know, has all kinds of cool gadgets and stuff. One of them's a street tough. One of them's like just a regular guy. But there's one version that's completely nuts who can't handle having the spirit inside of him. And he never knows what's real and what isn't. Kind of like Deadpool, but without all the goofiness. Mm. Moon Knight's a very serious character. There's not a lot of humor to him. We've seen DC take all of their serious characters and try to add levity to them, and it's failed miserably. Marvel has a lot more lighthearted and funny and humorous characters anyways that they've been working with. Moon Knight is one of the few Marvel characters that actually is gritty and dark and kind of stoic, and I'm really interested to see if they can pull off doing the opposite of what DC does, basically.
I'm interested in it. When is that one?
I'm not sure when it comes out. I haven't really looked at the schedule, but
2022 is when it's been labeled.
Okay.
Moon Knight's one of my favorite Marvel heroes, so I'm extremely excited about this.
So they also said, Loki will be out in May of next year, and then summer of 2021, the What If series is going to be released, which looked really cool. I like the animation style on it. I was down for it.
Yeah. What If should be fun.
Yeah, I used to love those growing up. I loved What If comics.
They're still fun.
Yeah, I haven't read them in a while. So back to the film side of things, Black Widow is still coming out. Now May 7th, 2021. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings it will be July 9th, 2021.
I'm excited about that, too. Shang-Chi is such a good character that's never really gotten a lot of exposure. I mean, they touched on a little bit of it with Iron Fist.
Sure.
The Netflix
show. Yeah, with the powers and
so
stuff.
There was so much wasted opportunity. They really should have expanded on the whole martial arts Marvel side of things. And I know Iron Fist was largely maligned, but I hope they bring him back, and I hope they really do the martial arts side of Marvel Justice, because there's a lot of really cool shit in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. And then they announced March 25th, 2022, is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which will tie in with WandaVision and the next multiverse-stuffed Spider-Man 3 film. And as Disney revealed, they're introducing America Chavez in that film. Which is interesting. I think they're slowly trying to introduce all of the young Avengers. What are you saying, George?
Is Sam Raimi still directing Doctor Strange?
Yes.
Cool.
That is true. I'm interested to see what he's going to do with it.
Awesome and trippy, and hopefully Bruce Campbell makes an appearance. That's all I need.
That's probably guaranteed. He's going to be there somewhere.
That would be great. No, I like the She-Hulk news too, because they're bringing back Abomination.
Yep.
And it's about to get there.
Right? Yeah. So yeah. Tatiana Maslany is playing She-Hulk.
I mean, that's number one for making it a fantastic show to begin with. She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. then she's playing She-Hulk. Jennifer Walters, Mark Ruffalo is also showing up in the series, and Tim Ross is back as the Abomination. That's awesome.
Incredible Hulk is actually one of my top Marvel movies. I know a lot of people don't put it up there, but I've always loved Edward Norton, and Abomination's one of the Hulk's best villains.
Sure.
I love She-Hulk as well, and I think they're doing the Charles Soule storyline, which is a really good one. I'm very, very excited about this. There's a lot of stuff from the Marvel side of things that I'm way more excited about than the Star Wars side or the Disney side.
So there's going to be...
Is Howard the Duck and She-Hulk, Justin?
Yeah.
They could?
Yeah, I think they will. They definitely could. They definitely could. So, they kind of introduced him in Guardians. I mean, yeah. They always bring him back.
The Collector had him, right?
Yeah. This is a backdoor way to get that Howard the Duck series that we were all promised.
I want it.
I just hope it doesn't lead to Gwenpool. We do not need a Gwenpool series.
So we also have some new other Marvel TV series announcements. So Ms. Marvel, they confirmed, was going to have Kamala Khan.
Super excited about
Iman
that.
Vellani, yeah.
I think the effects right on that one. Because, her powers are so, special effects heavy.
Yeah.
Like, the stretchy arms and
bigness
that she has. I just hope they get that right. And also, I wonder how they're going to explain the whole scarf thing, since Captain Marvel doesn't have a scarf. Mm.
And they confirmed that she will be in Captain Marvel 2, which is out November of next year. Hawkeye has been confirmed with Hayley Stanfield as Kate Bishop. We talked
about the costume.
Yeah.
The one with the actual comics costume, which I'm so thankful for. I love Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
She's better than Clint, in my opinion. So,
is this one a series or a movie?
Series.
Series.
Limited series.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I think the only way they can really, what's going to happen is, the point, it's going to probably, I don't know for sure, but the point where Clint goes off as Ronin and he's killing all these, people, I think he runs into her when she's a child and starts to train her and stuff, sees what she can do. That's how she gets introduced. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
It's my idea. Not sure though. There's talk about the Moon Knight series. So Oscar Isaac has been attached, but he's not confirmed yet.
He would be perfect in the role.
I think so too, man.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac's in everything, man. Give him a break. Get someone better.
Secret Invasion series that would reunite Samuel Jackson and Ben Mendelsohn. There's talk about an Ironheart series with Riri Williams. You know who that is? She's the young female Iron Man.
She's just another smart kid in the Marvel Universe. I don't know. I think I understand why they want to make it, but the Ironheart stories were all so boring. She's an interesting character, and whenever you see her pop up in other people's stories, she's always doing interesting things. But all of the stuff that she did in her own series sucked.
I never read her series, so can't.
So I'm less excited about that one.
And then Don Cheadle's set to return playing War Machine in Armor Wars. What happens when the tech falls into the wrong hands?
Yeah, that could be good.
Yep. So they also said while James Gunn is filming the next Guardians film, they're going to be doing a holiday special for Disney Plus. That's pretty cool.
I saw that.
Christian Bale is joining the next Thor, and he's playing a villain named Gore the God Butcher. Do you know that character, Justin? Because I don't.
Yeah, I sold my Aaron Craig, I think his name's Aaron Craig.
Jason Aaron.
I'm really tired. Sorry. I sold my Jason Aaron run that introduced Gore the God Butcher, and now I'm regretting it because they said they were going to introduce him. He's basically an ancient deity that was locked away, sort of like Doomsday was.
Oh, okay.
And then he gets awoken and starts butchering gods, and Thor loses an eye to him. Thor loses Mjolnir to him. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens. It's a really good series, but basically Malekith is the one that wakes him up. So I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're going to bring Malekith back,
That'd be interesting.
From the second Thor movie. Yeah. I'm not sure how they would do that, but it would be interesting if they did.
I didn't know that part of it. So it's been confirmed that, there is going to be a Blade film, and Peyton Reed is coming back for the next Ant-Man film called Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania, which will have a new person playing Cassie Lang and Jonathan Majors as King the Conqueror. I'm excited for that. He's going to be a perfect king.
Yeah, I agree.
Is Michelle Pfeiffer not coming back?
I'm sure they will.
I saw her name attached to it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure all Michael Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer, everybody's back, but so let's see. Chadwick Boseman, Marvel confirmed that they will not recast the character.
Good.
And we'll be making a Black Panther 2. I'm glad they're doing that. Or not doing that.
They're doing the Shuri becomes Black Panther thing.
They haven't confirmed that, but I'm sure that's probably what's going to happen.
I feel like that's the direction that they need to go. I feel like between what happened to Chadwick Boseman and just kind of everything that's going on in the world right now, like, they can't recast that role.
No,
like,
they can't.
That's the right move. It's the right move.
Yeah, it's totally the right move. And lastly, looks like Spider-Man director John Watts is going to be directing a new Fantastic Four movie.
They
finally got to get it right. Right.
They really shouldn't do another origin story movie.
No,
like, they should just throw you right in the middle of a King the Conqueror story. And we should already know all the characters. We shouldn't be introduced to them. And Dr. Doom should be nowhere near it. I mean, they should save Doom, bring him in and like series 6 of the Marvel Universe, make him the main villain then, but like, don't have him anywhere near Fantastic Four at this point. We don't need more finger guns and people's heads exploding. Like, no more of that shit.
Right. I think what you said about, because I think after they introduce King the Conqueror, he's going to be one of the next big baddies, I think, they're going to have to deal with in the Marvel Universe.
He's the next Thanos, yes. And then after him, it's going to have to either be Galactus or Doctor Doom.
Galactus. Hopefully he's not a fucking cloud again.
I mean, how can you possibly screw up Fantastic Four? Not once, not twice, but three times.
There was a second. There was three movies, wasn't there?
It's such a simple story, and like, they just fuck it up so bad every time. So I really don't have a lot of faith in them to do another Fantastic Four story, but if they decide not to do an origin story, I think their chances are a lot better of success.
They need to just introduce the characters in something else, have them already existing in the world in something else.
They're definitely going to be introduced. Ant-Man. I was about to say Ant-Man. If they're fighting Kang, I bet the end credits is going to be the introduction of the Fantastic Four somehow. Just Marvel loves doing that.
They could even do like something they haven't done before and do like a recap thing at the beginning of the episode, which is like the Fantastic Four were a group of scientists who went to space and were shot with radiation and they all got special powers. And
they're going to do an A-team opening to the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, right. Skip intro. Click.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a TV show, right? It's just
it's a movie.
It's a movie.
I mean, they could still do that, though.
I guess.
I would not mind one bit if they just explain their
If there's a 1 minute voiceover introduction with they do a slow zoom in on space and they do a voiceover telling you how they got their power, then that's it.
Or
they have
Uatu on the screen, and Uatu is like, let me tell you a story about the Fantastic Four, and they introduce Uatu into the universe and start having him appear and shit. I mean, there was always rumors that Stan Lee was Uatu, but that was never confirmed. And he didn't really look like it, you know? I mean, they could certainly introduce the Watcher, make him the narrator for the Fantastic Four story and tell it kind of actually like a comic book.
He's the narrator in the What If series.
Yeah, I mean, they could do the same thing with this and have it work. I think that would be a brilliant way to go about
it. They can do a real slick Zack Snyder slow motion montage over some cool song, like in Watchmen. You know, then we can just have that be our at the beginning of the movie. We can just have the cool slow motion montage sequence of how the Fantastic Four came to be. All right, cool. We're all caught up. Movie time. Go.
Right. They got powers in space. Okay, you caught up yet? We're done.
We get it. We get it. I mean,
it would really cut down on the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man movies. I'm just saying, like, we never need to see another Peter Parker origin story.
No, we don't. If you don't know he was bitten by a fucking spider by now, you don't need to be watching him anyways.
All right, let me try this one more time.
His right? Uncle Ben died. That's all you needed to know.
All right.
I don't know. They kind of did the origin stuff really smartly in the Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah. I can agree to that. All right, let's move on to Lucasfilm.
Spider-Verse movie was just great, though, all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So,
also Miles and not Peter. So, I mean...
I
get it.
In the video game, you can play as a Spider-Verse version of the character. So, it looks like that animated weird color. Mm-hmm. Oh, it just fucked with my eyes big time. I was like, okay, gotta turn that off.
I thought it was awesome. That was my favorite filter to play with.
That was weird, dude. All right, let's talk about Lucasfilm real quick. Mandalorian, they've announced 2 spinoff series, and they've been doing spinoff series since, like, TV was created. So, started back in, like, the 50s, you know, 40s, 50s. So, we're going to have Rangers of the New Republic, which they introduced. I think it's going to be Bo-Katan and her group. And then Rosario Dawson is going to be in an Ahsoka series. Now, you guys know she's one of my favorite characters, and I just hope they don't... what's the word I'm looking for?
Fuck it up.
Fuck it up.
Okay, fuck it up, yes, but use it too much. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, I get it now. But I'm excited for it.
Carrie, this is Disney we're talking about.
Okay, fine, you're right.
Squeezing the life out of things is their game.
All right, I mean, you're right, especially with Star Wars.
They announced way too many Star Wars series, and I'm a fan of Star Wars. Like, there's just too much. There's too much. If there was 2 or 3 coming out, if there was an Obi-Wan series, that'd be cool. If there was an Ahsoka series, that'd be cool. Like, that's really all you need. Like,
we're about to get to it all, dude. And
superfluous and pointless.
I know. All right. So, moving on from the Mandalorian universe, they're doing an Andor spinoff series from Rogue One.
Who cares?
Starring Diego Luna, written by Tony Gilroy. Okay.
I agree with you, Justin. Who cares? But at the same time, this trailer looks pretty fucking slick. And
I'm sure it's all going to be awesome, but who cares?
But like, his storyline was the best part of Rogue One. I really wish this story that we're getting for Andor was the movie we were getting instead of Rogue One.
And if we have to suffer through an Andor series to get K2SO back, I'm okay with that.
They're just going to find somebody to babysit him every episode.
No.
Or he'll just be malfunctioning, so they'll have to like put him off to the side.
Well, I'm sure this is going to be, well, it has to be a prequel series to Rogue One of him being a scoundrel, basically, is what I'm imagining. So I'm looking, that's cool.
He's a spy, man. Not a scoundrel. He's a spy. So it's going to be like a spy thriller film. I'm imagining like a Jason Bourne, but in Star Wars.
Okay.
That sounds neat.
Yeah. You sold me, George.
Again, I'm not opposed to it. I'll watch it, and I'll probably love it. I just don't see a need for it.
We're going
to
watch all of them anyways.
I don't see a need for it either, but I hope it's better than Rogue One, because Rogue One is a big steaming pile of shit.
Nobody's agreeing with them.
And they don't need to, because everybody knows the truth.
Speaking of a big steamy pile of shit, Hayden Christensen is back.
I thought you were going to tell me there's a Bantha Poodoo spinoff.
There's a... next year, Bantha Poodoo is going to have his own feature film. So Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to, of course, feature Ewan McGregor. Which I just started watching, like I said earlier, season 3 of Fargo, and he's one of the two of the main characters in that film or that series, which is interesting. So Hayden Christensen's going to be in it. He's going to be playing Darth Vader. So how does this?
Well, what I am imagining, there's going to be flashback sequences between Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker before he turned into Darth Vader.
But they specifically say he's going to be Darth Vader in the film, in the series.
I don't doubt that. But the reasoning they're casting What's-His-Face is not the fact that he can be in the suit. They can get anybody to be in a Darth Vader suit. The reasoning they're casting Hayden Christensen so they can have those flashback sequences with Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Are they going to do some shitty de-aging on both of them? I mean, they're going to have to, right?
I don't know. The look of war makes you look old, man.
Because the Disney de-aging stuff is crap. If you compare it to like any of those deep fakes that are out there, it's horrible. Hopefully they'll have time to perfect it a little bit more. All right. So if you're a fan of the animated series of, we're getting an animated series for the Bad Batch.
That trailer looked pretty good.
I like those characters. I'm a big fan of the Clone Wars. So
I didn't like the Clone Wars. I was more fan of the Rebels, but the animation in this looks pretty slick. So I'll give it a shot.
There's going to be an anime series, called Visions. It's going to be have little shorts with different creators. There's going to be a droid series.
That's kind of a fun idea, actually.
Yeah. There are some books recently where they have, like, one of them is like A New Hope and different stories, and they have all these different authors creating, like, little stories in this book. There's one that just came out for Empire Strikes Back, too. So I like that idea of as that is a series, you know, an anime style.
What was the name of that book?
I don't remember the exact name of them. There's a New Hope one, and there's a Empire Strikes Back one that just came out.
And it's like a fan series?
No, it's a Star Wars series. It's an official series, but there's a bunch of different authors doing like short stories in them. They're pretty cool. So the droid story, that's going to be a series. Let's see.
Which droids is it going to follow?
All of them, possibly.
That sounds terrible. I'd rather watch a Jawa series where they just comb the desert for scraps.
It's called Utini.
I'd watch an Utini series.
Would you? Dear White People's Justin Simeon is going to be doing a Lando spinoff series. No mention of which Lando we're going to get yet, old or young. Donald Glover or, you know.
That'd be cool. Flashbacks too. I'd watch that. Yeah.
Do you think actually it's Donald Glover?
If they throw him enough money, why not? It's going to be Lando takes a job he moves great, to Atlanta.
So he was great.
He was great as Lando. Yeah. And actually, now that you mention it, if they did like a young man, old man Lando series and got Billy Dee Williams and Donald, that would be awesome.
So Billy Dee Williams sits there and let me tell you about a story from my past. And when they go to the flashback, it's all Donald Glover. That'd be amazing.
It's the young Lando Chronicles.
Yeah.
I would watch the hell out of that. That sounds great.
What makes this really awesome is a good way to make that backdoor Han Solo sequel that all the fans wanted.
Who wanted that?
Everybody. Oh, all the fans of Han Solo.
Both of them.
All two people.
Both of them.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf wanted it.
Well, he wanted Indiana Jones. And not listed here, Indiana Jones 5 will be out in 2022, the last one of the series.
That's what they say.
Yep. They made a bad joke on, like, I think it was like Jimmy Fallon about that. It was like Indiana Jones and the Jamaican nurse or something like that. I was like, man, he's going to be old by the time they actually get this out, but whatever. Russian Doll, I've never seen that show, but the creator is doing a series based in the High Republic era called The Acolyte. So it's hundreds of years before any of the stuff in Star Wars, and that's
That is the whole direction they should have been going. I mean, all these spinoffs and stuff or whatever, but like if they do Old Republic stuff and they started telling those stories, I would be 100% on board for all of it, because that is rich Star Wars history that has not been explored visually yet.
Sure.
Yeah, there's so much
backstory universe.
There's so much universe that, like, I get that they like wipe the canon clean or whatever, but like even so, they're still
they can
drawing
still draw from it.
This whole drawing
from so much of that material. There's so much Star Wars lore and history and places and characters that, like, we don't I don't have a problem with anything that's coming out, but like it would be way cooler to get into stuff that we've never seen anything of
before. So the High Republic is a whole campaign. It's going to be this series. It's going to be books. It's going to be a comic book series. It's going to be all these things. So it's all the beginning of the new canon, basically, is what they're doing.
Okay.
It was supposed to actually start coming out this year, but COVID sort of put a stop to a lot of that stuff. They announced it a while back, like different comic book series and things like that. But I know this is going to really make a couple of you guys happy as hell. It is confirmed Taika Waititi is doing a Star Wars film. Justin, I'm sorry. I'm excited for it. And they also...
What's it going to be about?
Nazis. Space Nazis.
It's going to be a joyous musical number from the Empire's perspective.
Yep.
Excellent. I'm here for it.
And it's all set in New Zealand. Patty Jenkins is directing her own Star Wars film, Rogue Squadron.
Who isn't making a Star Wars movie these days?
What's that? The best.
Who is not making a Star Wars movie these days?
You?
Yeah. You know, there's so much of this that I just is so unnecessary and I just don't care about. There's better stories they could draw from. I don't know why they're doing a Rogue Squadron story and not a Dr. Aphra story.
Dr. Aphra would be awesome.
I would much rather watch Dr. Aphra than droids or whatever that bullshit is. Like, there's so much more interesting things in the universe that is, like, explored in the comics that now they could draw from and turn into you know, visual canon as well.
Yeah, Dr. Aphra is like a female Indiana Jones. It would be fucking awesome.
And the droids she has are, like, the best droids in the entire Star Wars universe.
Was it BD or something? The
BD-8?
Yeah. They're fucking evil droids, man. That's what that droid series needs to be based on them.
I mean, they're like the anti C-3PO and R2-D2. They fucking just want to kill everybody. They're amazing.
Speaking of the Indiana Jones, the last bit of news, which we didn't talk about earlier, it's gonna be directed by James Mangold. So that
was already, wasn't it?
I don't remember hearing that before, but it's gonna come out in July 2022. So there's a little bit of hope there.
So they say.
Hopefully Shia is not in it.
There's no reason for him to be.
No.
Like, whether he's his son or not, like, the Indiana Jones series has, like, totally ignored and written off characters in the past. I don't think it's a big deal that they can just let that one go.
That's very true. He took the hat and just retired somewhere, and then he's done. Well, that's it. That's all over. That's all the news that was fit to print, as they say. There's a lot of new shit coming.
Yeah, what do you guys think about the history of curse words? I'm pretty excited about that. You ever heard about this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The new Netflix series, Nicolas Cage explores the history of curse words.
Oh God, yes.
I think I did hear about this.
I'm very excited about this.
You know what movie I'm actually excited for now? Is Nobody.
Yeah, it looks all right, too.
That looks fun.
It looks so fun.
I like Bob Odenkirk.
It takes place in the John Wick series, or the John Wick universe.
Yeah, I think it's the same director. I don't know if it's in the same universe, but possibly.
I know it's the same director and same writer, but it looks and feels like it takes place in the same universe.
Yeah, it could. You never know. I like Bob Odenkirk. I think he's funny as hell. I think.
Well, apparently he trained for like 3 years for that movie.
Wouldn't surprise me. I love the line where he's talking about, what is it? Give me back my daughter's, whatever they stole from his daughter.
Give me back the goddamn kitty bracelet.
That's what it is. The kitty bracelet. Oh, it's so funny.
It looks fun. I want to see that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask.
I've liked Bob Odenkirk since Mr. Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't recall ever seeing him do anything like this. So
no, for sure. I mean, he was in the first season of Fargo that I watched, and he was like, he became like the chief of police, and he did not know what the fuck he was doing. He's like, I don't want to be chief. This sucks. This is horrible. And he was great in that too. Yeah, he was Saul, right? Better Call Saul.
Yeah, he was better than Saul.
I never saw that.
Bob Odenkirk's, he's got a great career. I mean, almost everything, every role he's taken on has been a good one. So he's a very likable guy. This will be a very interesting film.
All right. I think we've covered a lot. So let's wrap it up. Let's end the episode. Thank you guys for hanging out with us as we talk about all this Disney, mostly Disney Plus information, all these Disney projects coming up. There's a shit ton of them. They have our money. They have our Disney Plus money. That's
Well, as Disney continues to amoebize all other media companies, you know, this is just what it's going to look like from now on.
You're right. I mean, they have to really support Disney Plus, because right now during 2020 and in the coronavirus and everything, that's really the only thing keeping them going. They're losing money so many places, just hemorrhaging money everywhere else. This is the only thing that's going to keep them going. They have to get as many people on board as they can, you know? It's sure. The sad but true part of it. All right. Anybody have any housekeeping they want to get to? I take that as a unanimous no.
It's Christmas time, Carrie. It's time for Christmas time.
It is almost Christmas time. It's Hanukkah time right now. Happy Hanukkah, my friends.
Happy Hanukkah, Carrie.
Happy Hanukkah, Carrie.
Thank you. I do have to say, I have a couple bits of housekeeping. Check out Houston Indie Podcast Society. We're doing a new episode this week on Wednesday. It's myself, Jared McClelland, Ming Chen, and we're interviewing Chris Sully all about his Twitch stuff that he's been doing. He's been twitching a lot. So just go.
Has he had that checked out?
I think he went to the doctor for that. I'm hoping it's okay. But he continues to twitch.
He came back to Texas and he came back to Texas and ate some Whataburger. He's doing good.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw it on his feed.
There you go. Then his twitching will stop. He ate some Whataburger.
He's eating Whataburger.
That's right. let's see. Check us out over at on Google. Just Google Houston Indie Podcast Society. We're on Facebook, all that good stuff. And check out the live streams. I'm going to be on Craig Price's game show, Cast Off, tomorrow night. By the time this is out, it'll already be over. And I was tasked with recasting the movie Tropic Thunder. So, not to spoil anything, but I came up with some interesting choices. There was one character that was very difficult to recast, if you know who I'm talking about.
Robert
Downey Jr.?
Oh, yeah. I think I came up with a good one, but we'll go from there later.
Did you cast as Robert Downey
Jr.? I can't say yet until after the show is over.
I'll tell you all offline.
I know who I would pick.
We'll talk about it offline. Okay. All right. So, of course, you can subscribe to the show on all your podcast places. Get in your ear hole, as George said recently. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on so many places where you can get your podcast. We're at MetalGeeks.net. We're on social media at MetalGeeks. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Join the Metal Geek Society on Facebook. We're having a lot of fun over there. Justin just posted his top 30 albums there. So if you want a sneak peek of what he's been listening to and check out the playlist, I'm probably going to do that this week myself. What else am I missing? You can find us at ESONetwork.com. Check out all the shows that make up the ESO Network. Proud to be part of them is still. And am I forgetting anything else, George?
No. I don't think so.
That was a long pause to say no. Thank you. I got a guitar riff out of it. All right. Where can everybody find you, George?
You can find me at George Tripsis on pretty much all social medias. But more importantly, you can check out our comic book, Speak No Evil, at Grey Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. Justin and I are hard at work to get the next few issues going. So kind of keep your eyes open in the new year for something about that.
Cool.
Don't forget to tune in to his Guitar Spolo special, January 5th at Madison Square Gardens.
Nice.
He's going to be doing 2 hours of nothing but Eruption.
It's going to take him that long to get through it.
He might throw the opening riffs of Inner Sandman in there with a couple of yes.
Yeah.
And maybe Smoke on the Water if we're lucky.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, Dave, what about you, sir? What are you pimping out right now?
Find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And Pinterest too, if you like that kind of thing. I get an inordinate amount of traffic from Pinterest, oddly enough.
Awesome.
So yeah. I'm having to plug that one. So but yeah, check out my artwork. Buy my art. I am a poor broke artist. Feed me.
That's right. All right, Mr. Justin, the metal. I'm sorry, Mr. Metal Detector.
Yeah, I gotta change my handle or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I will go by that website and start writing reviews like Sean does.
You should, man. That'd be fun.
if you want to find me, you can find me as @comicaljc on Twitter and Instagram, or on the Facebook Metal Geeks page. I'm just Justin on there, posting all kinds of stuff. Check out our podcast, Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. It's available on all the different podcast apps, as well as our website, mindfudgecomedy.com. I've been talking to Andy. He is being Andy. whenever he gets a microphone, hopefully we'll be able to record again. It has been a while, but sooner than later, hopefully.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for hanging out tonight and talking about all these new entertainment things coming from Disney that we have to look forward to. As always, I have been Carrie the Metal Geek, along with the Metal Geeks crew. We have one last thing we have to say.
Keep it metal.
And?
May the force be with you.
Okay, that too, for sure. And? George?
Balls.
Oh, we didn't say balls yet. Balls? All right.
Balls.
Moving on. All right, George?
Take us out, George.
Yeah!
Do y'all expect me to play something?
No, we're expecting you to end the show.
Oh, keep it geeky.
All right.
Yay.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
The 42 cast is turning 100, but like all good things, it must come to an end. Tune in to our epic finale as we see who lives, who dies, and who gets their own spinoff. And then come back when the 42 cast is back for season 2 with even more segments, more guests, and more of explaining why Ryan is wrong. It's why we're still the ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything. You can only find all this awesome by downloading the 42 cast, a proud member of the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.